listening to Graphic Novel Explorers Club Podcast, an audio book club.
Greetings, explorers. I'm one of your hosts, Johnny, joined by we three.
Oh, nice tie-in. Francis, Preziosi.
Dennis.
So which one's the... Well, you're the cat, obviously. Dennis would be...
I'm the rabbit.
The rabbit, I guess. Today, we are discussing We Three by Grant Morrison and art by Frank Quitely. Or is it quietly? We agreed as Quitely. Okay.
I'm sorry, Frank. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, we really like your art.
Mr. Frank. We hope you've already read today's title because all three of us have read the book. So beware, spoilers ahead. Explorers can share their opinions and thoughts with us by leaving a comment on our Facebook page or over on Twitter and Instagram at GN Explorers Club. Graphic Novel Explorers Club is available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are available. This book was recommended to us by one of our explorers, Eric Cepeda. Hope I'm saying your last name correctly, Eric. C-E-P-E-D-A, Cepeda.
Sounds right.
Yeah, sounds close enough. He also recommended a couple other books, The Stuff of Legends by Mike Raicht, right? You know, I would swear for all three of us reading on a regular basis, we never know how to pronounce anybody's names.
Well, you know, okay, so slightly off topic, but there's a ton of words I mispronounce because I've read, but you never hear it. And even to this day, after I've heard the correct pronunciation, I still mispronounce it because that's how I initially read it in my head. That's why I always thought that if you're an author, especially of fantasy and sci-fi, you should have a pronunciation guide in the back because no one's going to know how to pronounce most of this stuff.
That's a good idea.
No one asked you, Francis. Johnny and I were having a confidential discussion here.
Eric's other recommendations were We Three, which we're reading today, and then Pride of Baghdad by Brian K. Vaughan and Nico Henriokin. I don't know.
Let's not butcher any more names.
We're so illiterate, the three of us. But so yeah, thanks, Eric, for recommending the book. We appreciate it. This is also our start to season four. So thank you for...
Hey, new season
for our season to return.
Thank you, listener.
Yeah. That's fresh podcast smell is still here.
So a quick recap of this book. It's about three animals that have been experimented on and are escape and are chased by the government because they're like this secret experiment that shouldn't have been released to the public. That's basically the core of the book. Before we started recording, Francis, you were going to say this reminds you of...
So when I first downloaded the book, which was great, from Hoopla, I saw the cover of the three animals, and it made me instantly think of Watershed Down. And I thought maybe this is what that book would kind of be similar to, like animals living, like not in a human world, but like an animal world and their struggle in the animal world. And they definitely look, I mean, they looked very like spaceship-y to me. So I thought maybe it was like another planet, like an animal planet, not the TV show. But yeah, so I was kind of anticipating sort of that story.
That's what I thought, that they were going to be aliens that just happened to look like animals.
And the photo, the image that you're showing too, is they almost look like these pastel colored creature, like dog, cat, and rabbit coming out of these pastel like suits, eggy suits, which they look nothing. The suits are not colored that way in the actual comic book.
Good point. Yeah. This looks like Easter, like a happy little Easter story.
This book reminded me of a cartoon called The Plague Dogs, which is a British cartoon from the early 80s, I believe, about these two dogs that escape from a lab. A government-run lab, I believe, that had been experiment on. They're given a virus or something like that to see how they're going to die, you know, like to experiment for the betterment, quote-unquote, betterment of humanity. And then they wind up escaping, and then the government is chasing after them because they could be passing this virus throughout the countryside. And then the ending of it is very it's kind of sad but beautiful, where they wind up going – making it to the ocean, and there's spoiler alert, they're swimming into the ocean, and the one dog's a little smarter than, it's almost like Lenny and I almost said Squiggy
Of Mice and Men. Yeah, almost not Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah, not Laverne and Shirley.
Very different stories.
Yeah. Where the one knows that they're not going to make it, mm-hmm. but the other one thinks, he keeps telling the other one, we'll just keep swimming, and then there's a safe spot for us over there,
mm-hmm.
knowing that they're going to drown, but they'll die free. Kind of thing.
God, today is so depressing.
I was thinking of Secret of Nim personally, but that was once again experimental, humans experimenting on animals.
We do some terrible things to animals. Not me, I'm a vegetarian, so I win. Oh, but...
Johnny is straight up giving me stink eye while he's saying that. Like, top that, Catholic killer.
Yeah, I love meat.
All right, let's get to it. So the book starts off with a poster for a missing dog named Bandit. That's kind of like the opening to the chapter. And then we open with some, well, you could tell are bad guys. There's guns everywhere.
It's very Predator too.
Yeah. Opening. and the leader of this group is on a treadmill. And you just start to see these like little red and blue lights kind of moving throughout what looks like an apartment building somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so their leader is running on this treadmill. And he starts to, you don't hear it, but he starts to realize, like, something's going on. There's mm-hmm. something's happening in the building. So he picks up some machine guns and just starts blasting through this door, thinking that whoever's coming for him is on the other side of the door,
mm-hmm.
when he suddenly realizes they're behind him and he dies. He's killed. And then you get cut scenes of, like, you don't get a full picture of them, but you just see these, like, little robot butts and legs, right. Like back legs moving through the building.
When he gets wasted by...
Yeah, they tear him up.
Looks like bullets just hailing through.
Yeah, yeah.
And all you see left is...
A double page, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
And I think all you see is like his foot.
Just chunks of his body flying through the air.
Warning, this is a very gory book. I wasn't expecting how gory this was.
Yeah, it's pretty gory. It's definitely.
Thank God, no sexual violence. That was a nice break.
Yeah, for me, this wasn't gory. Like, I can handle this fake blood stuff because it's just so over the top.
Right.
But like, when something can like really happen, I'm like, ugh.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very sci-fi. Yeah. I mean, it's gory violence, but it's definitely in a realm of like, yeah, this isn't gonna happen. But yeah, these little three robot armadillo looking like creatures leave the house. And then the next scene opens up with a woman trying to get her parrot to talk, which it doesn't do until she leaves the house. And then we cut to a scene of a van that is, I thought this was a really cool illustration.
Oh, I loved it.
Where it's almost like the movie.
Hackers?
No, Hellboy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where Hellboy's secretly housed in that mm-hmm. in that garbage truck. It's kind of the same thing where...
It's your stereotypical spies are in a hidden van kind of thing.
But it was
thing.
Really cool the way that you did the cutout.
Right.
It's like a 3D internal image mm-hmm. on a 2D outside.
And
image,
they're not all in the same plane. There's like guys on like a second
the
level.
Suspended chairs and stuff like that. So yeah, I thought that was a pretty cool scene. The three armadillo robot creatures are inside this in this van, which turn out to be these exoskeletons that contain dog, a cat, and a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of find out that these creatures are nicknamed Biorgs, mm-hmm. which I thought was kind of cheesy. Biorgs. I don't know. Whenever somebody comes up with nicknames inside of the world.
Right, right.
The story's world, it's always like heavy-handed to me. It just never feels
a little
feels
too on the nose.
Yeah, or just doesn't feel natural to me.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, if you're going to call yourself an Autobot, and you're all cars, yet your cars don't exist technically on your planet. It's kind of weird.
Maybe they're automatic bots.
Right.
I don't know. But that's their species. That's not their nicknames. Isn't it, right?
Yeah.
Those Decepticons do.
Are they in the van or are they in the government building and that's where the van's going?
They're in the van taking him to that
government
building.
I cannot follow a comic book story for anything. I just can't.
It's really simple. They went in the van and the van's going to the compound.
Think of it as like that's the Knight Industries semi-truck and then their Knight Rider.
Yeah.
Inside
my
that
favorite
truck.
Part is when he goes in there.
Bum, ba-da-dum, then, bum,
much like ba-da-dum, Spy Hunter. Remember Spy Hunter would do that?
Bum, bum. Yeah, they drop you out there. Yeah.
Well, that makes more sense with the coloring. Once again, I was lost.
But anyways, so these three are part of an experiment for the military And it's basically they're building an army of these like slave animals, basically, right, that will fight on the battlefield instead of humans. That's their excuse for conducting this experiment, is to save human lives by sacrificing all these animal lives.
Which is semi-based in reality, right? I mean, don't we use like dolphins to find like...
Yeah, they'll use them to protect naval bases.
Right.
They're trained to like...
find mines or something?
That too, but they're also trained to like kill or beat up or surface divers.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not out of the realm of, if we could get to this level, we would totally do that.
Oh, I'm sure we would.
And it makes sense. I mean, in some ways, it's also the mentality of drones, right? Why put a human life at risk when you can have a human behind a joystick, which they literally have in here? Yeah.
Or a Xbox One controller.
Right.
Well, this would have been back in the Xbox days.
Yeah,
Xbox
totally.
360. We also happen to find out that this company is running an experiment on a bunch of rats. This was the most horrific thing
yes,
to me.
Yes, yes.
Were these rats that were basically had been modified. Some of them are just rats with these like antennas sticking out of them, but then others have had like their heads replaced by drill bits or wrenches, sockets. Mm-hmm. There's a senator and a couple military personnel, like generals, being shown a tour of this facility, which was a great way for, I thought this was a really great way to introduce the reader mm-hmm. to this world where you're like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing.
It's a good exposition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're being shown that these animals can be remotely controlled. They no longer have free will, and they can basically build a bomb within like 2 days, where it would take or 48, an hour or something like that.
Right. In this case, it was a jet engine. But yeah, you could basically use slave animal labor for construction, as opposed to actual human labor.
In like a fourth of the time.
Right.
To build something.
Plus, because, yeah, they don't need rest. They don't have any worker
rights.
Well,
you can just work them till they're dead.
Right.
So the woman that we were introduced trying to feed the parrot, or get her parrot to talk, is a woman named Roseanne Barry. And she's like one of the lead technologists or doctors mm-hmm. working on this experiment. We're informed that the three animals, the cat, the dog, and the rabbit, have to require a medication daily to function. If mm-hmm. without it, they'll die, or their body will start to reject the mm-hmm. all the crap that's been put into their body. We also find out there's a fourth animal named Number Four.
Right.
That's sort of like the next.
Like the Hong Kong.
Yeah, like the next generation of this.
Not Hong Kong. What's his name?
Hong Kong Fooey?
No, the big Godzilla. He goes on the tower.
Oh, King Kong?
Thank you.
Hong Kong? Jesus. Francis, I'm going to take away your nerd card.
I finished my coffee.
Hong Kong.
I know there was a Kong.
You know, Donkey
Hong
Kong.
That's what reminded me of like King Kong. Like, he's just so much bigger,
yeah,
like more threatening.
Right.
After this introduction, you come to find out that after this mission that they just did, that the general that's running this, the senator, and some of the other doctors are like, we're going to decommission the three animals, basically kill them because they have served their purpose. And now we have another generation that is going to be more deadly than these three.
Well, and also their thought process, and we slightly skipped over it, but there was one scene where one of the evil scientists shows how he can remotely control one of the rats.
Yeah.
And actually had the rat with the screwdriver
drill
bit
yeah.
turn on another rat and just drill it to death.
Yeah.
But
whereas these we three mm-hmm. have a more sentient free will.
Right. And also, yeah, that's exactly it. They were actually, as implied by the missing poster, they were found. And so they were converted to become these killers,
yeah.
whereas what they want to do is breed them from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they have less problems, I guess.
And I don't know if you're going to touch on this or if you already did, because apparently I'm not paying attention. The female, mm-hmm. she has trained these animals to talk.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, like they can actually speak. So she spent a lot of time
right.
with them. Like, she is kind of the humane one towards them, is my thought. Like, even though they're building these killers, she's mm-hmm. still treating them with some level of...
Yeah, I think she's has a certain affection for them.
Yeah, as much as she can, being part of this experiment.
Yeah, as far as like putting implants and crap into them.
Well,
yeah.
And that pisses off, I think, the general, which is like, why are you making them speak?
Yeah,
they're just like, killer, you know. Yeah.
They
robots.
Were meant to last.
Right. Yeah. And so the dog can speak very well.
Well,
comparatively.
Yeah.
The cat, not so much.
They speak in like clipped.
Yeah.
Like a 2 year old would.
Right. And then the rabbit, even less so. So, yeah.
And they keep referring, especially the cat refers to all the humans as boss.
Right.
But she calls them, or I'm assuming it's a she, calls them stink boss.
Right. Right.
That's totally a cat movie.
Right. Yeah. And they keep hinting at the cat as like the most vicious of them, which would definitely be true. So then we get a montage of, and I thought this was done really well, these little video cameras showing different areas of this compound. Mm-hmm. And you start to see Roseanne walking, the character in the book, not the Roseanne Barr. That'd right. be, that'd really take you out of the...
What a cameo.
Then she sang the national anthem poorly.
It was really weird.
It was strange. It really took me out of the book. But she's slowly walking towards there. Like she has a crisis of morality here. Like, I can't let these creatures die. So she releases them. Long story short, she releases them.
Yeah, like you said, it's a really well-constructed, considering how... I guess chaotic it is. It's like each part represents what the scientists are doing. Like they're talking about, okay, we need to basically, I mean, it's all implied. There's no language implied that they're going to euthanize the pets. Mm-hmm. So you can see they're
getting a syringe ready.
They're basically going from that point, a guard who's just kind of standing by. I think some clips of a screen. And then, and obviously Roseanne
releases them.
Yeah, releases them.
And then you see the three animals just. You don't quite get a complete focused view of them, but you just see clips of them running. They're fucking people up.
Oh, yeah.
So I was kind of confused by this. I still thought it was very well done, too. But as she's walking out, she has this big, like, rucksack, and it looks very full. So at first I thought, like, she, like, has the animals with her. Mm. Like, I didn't realize she just kind of set them free, like, set them loose. I thought she was trying to sneak out with them.
I think she was bringing, like, possibly their medicine. But
that makes sense.
But
yeah.
Also, I think she was prepared to die. She wasn't.
She
sure.
She says that.
Oh, okay.
She says I'm prepared to die and I probably deserve it. Basically,
she thought that maybe they'd kill her
on the way out.
Yeah,
but they just run past her.
Right. So they recognize her as kind of the good one because they slaughter everyone else in between. Yeah.
So then this other doctor who wears glasses is on the phone, kind of doing damage control, telling someone that handles the senator, like, this won't be traced back to the senator. Don't worry about it. So the animals escape. They make it out into this, like, grassy woods area and have, like, no idea what they're supposed to do. But the dog says, home. We right. go home. The dog has some sort of, like, remnant memory of, you know, I used to
the
live
bandit.
With. Yeah. Well, we'll get to that part. That was really, I love that part of it.
I totally, you're going to explain that to me. God, I just don't get
it. Did you even
things.
Read?
I did. It's very tiny on a phone.
Yeah, that's I agree. True. I agree.
So the next chapter starts with a poster for Missing Orange Tabby, which is clearly the cat from We Three, who's number
Tinker.
Two. Dog's number one, cat's two, rabbit's number three.
I love this photo, by the way.
Yeah, it's a beautiful image.
It looks like Tahoe.
Yeah.
It's where the animals have escaped and they're like out in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a city. It's not, they're in the woods.
I'm guessing this is probably like, because this experiment's run by the Air Force.
So Colorado?
So I'm guessing it's like probably Colorado, somewhere up in that area.
Which is always interesting to me that the Air Force always does, like, I always think they're just planes, but they're the ones who are always doing the space stuff.
Yeah,
and they're always doing these weird experiments in sci-fi.
Yeah, it's like Navy and Air Force do the space.
Yeah.
Well, now we're going to have Space Force. So.
Space Force. That's right.
So the chapter starts off with the animals in this clearing, which Frankie referred to as that beautiful image of them seeing it. And they're so tiny compared to how big that valley is, or like this mountain with a valley. So you see these bunch of rabbits down in this clearing, like wild rabbits.
And this does, sorry, this does look like Watershed Down. This one panel, I was like,
straight up Watershed
there's all
Down.
The bunnies. Yeah. And maybe he meant to do that. Like, let's add a Watershed Down scene where all the animals
maybe
are going to be
killed. Maybe they work in the same, maybe it's in the same universe. Oh. These are just the American cousins of those British rabbits. And then the we three, as they affectionately call themselves, are yelling, run. Which the wild rabbits don't understand. Like, I thought that was a real good disconnect from, like,
them versus the real wild animals.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, these creatures aren't even animals anymore. They're just like these weird science experiments. And these helicopters, which the cat calls stink birds, I love that, are following and firing at them, which just obliterates these poor little wild rabbits.
Like, literally, that's a really gory scene too. Like, decapitates them.
Feet are flying everywhere. Yeah. So the same bespectacle. I don't know why I said that. Same guy wearing glasses is in the interrogation room with Roseanne, because they must have brought her back. Like, hey, we know you. We've got it on film that you release these animals, and is trying to warn the military about the deadliness of we three.
Right, because we won. The dog has like surface to air missiles.
Yeah.
I think
the cat has like needles that it can shoot.
Because the cat is like designed as an assassin. Yeah. I think. And then the rabbit, I think, is explosives.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they all have, they're all specialized. They work as a team and they're all specialized with certain weaponry.
And the dog seems to have machine guns in its paws or something like that. And this guy seems to be more sympathetic about the men being sent to their deaths than.
The general.
Anything they've done to any of these animals. Like, who knows how many animals they had to experiment on to get to this point where you have three functioning creatures
For
that
sure.
can. It's terrible. There's a couple helicopters, a Humvee pursuing the three animals, and they quickly, the cat, the dog, and the rabbit just quickly dispatch these. Their pursuers.
I mean, the cat like freaking snipes.
Well, it's like a shotgun blast of these needles can fly out of its paws. So it's just sending all these metal needles into the helicopter, into the tank.
It goes to someone's eye.
And she has like a laser pointer in her paw, which is kind of funny.
The
cat would have a laser pointer. A quick side note here. So. Yeah, our studio is in the same building as this guy named Odin, who has a YouTube page called Odin Makes. And if you haven't checked out Odin Makes, definitely go check it. It's really amazing. Around the time we're recording this, he had made the Eye of Thundera, the Sword of Omens from Thundercats. And he made a really good point. I don't know if you've watched that one yet, Dennis. He makes a really good point that he can use the sword in the Eye of Thundera. It shoots a laser up into the sky, and that gets all the other cats' attention.
Totally.
Thundercats to get their attention. He's like, I think it's kind of funny that he's using a laser pointer.
I didn't even think about that. Oh my gosh.
So, thanks, Odin, for making that very awesome point. I thought it was, like, why the hell did nobody think of that until then?
Oh my gosh.
So, anyways, getting back on track here. While this is going on, whoever this man is, we don't know who he is.
Okay, I didn't either, but I thought that was just a me thing.
The guy who's controlling the rats, you never find out who he is. At least I don't think we do.
He's like a mysterious Mr. X, like the cigarette smoking kind of like, he's the overall nefarious head honcho.
Yeah.
He kind of reminded me of the Big Brothers in 1984 because there's the scene where like, they're going to put the rats on the guy's face after they've captured him. He's like, no, because it's his biggest fear. So they make him do it to his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
just
this one panel kind of made me think of like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
See, Francis does read.
I do. I just not coherently. Like,
well, this is another testament after having read so many different books with various mysteries and lore that they're trying to relate to the viewer. This is a case where they don't explain that, but I don't feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah,
you know, like you get the
kind
of trope.
They bring up to speed really quick.
Well, and they give you the trope. I mean, you don't have to know exactly this guy's name or his role. You just know he's a nefarious person
who seems more bent on the torture and pain that these animals can cause, as opposed to like, whereas Roseanne and maybe the other doctor with wears the glasses with the goatee, theirs might be.
There's like a scientific.
Well, it's not altruistic. Their point is, look, by doing this, we can save human lives.
Right.
Whereas this other guy is just like, well, I'm going to put a fucking drill on this rat's head.
Right. And you can see it just through like maybe one panel where he's kind of grinning, where it sounds like he's gaining some sort of pleasure from doing this.
For sure. For
sure. And so you don't, that's all you need to know, which is, you know, we've read so many books where they're trying to like really explain the bad guy or really build up this mystery of the organization. And it just seems convoluted or just.
I think you're trying to call out maybe a trilogy book we read. And
perhaps. I don't know.
A trilogy series about somebody's legendary talents.
I'm not subtweeting anyone, Johnny.
So, yeah, so this guy we're talking about, this character that we're talking about, decides that he should release his bio-org rats to take down the we three.
I don't know how they caught up to them so quickly, but that's they kind of just pop up.
Yeah, so the cat and dog and the rabbit are near this train bridge where this train is going by.
A la Stand By Me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Huh. That's a good point. Huh. One of them is supposed to have a comb in his pocket. It doesn't. then he drops it into the bridge. I brought the comb. It's one of my favorite dumb arguments in a movie ever. Oh, I brought the comb. So the cat and dog start arguing over where they're supposed to go. And the dog actually start fighting on this train bridge. And I love this part. It's so endearing. Is the rabbit says, no, one, two, three, we three. Like he's saying, no, we're not one, two, and three. We're there three of us.
Right.
And
I am Groot.
Yeah, basically, we three. He gets the titular line, we three line. So... At the same time that the dog and the cat are starting to physically fight, the rat horde appears and starts hurting them a little bit. Like,
well, yeah.
Yeah. And the cat and the dog are
rat swarms are notoriously tough in Dungeons and Dragons. So I can say that for a fact.
Really?
Yeah. No, they're terrible because you
can't say that for a fact.
Because you can't use regular weapons against them. So they're a swarm, so that it's really hard to actually hit
them. What about a rat king?
Rat king's very different.
That's Nutcracker Ballet.
Yeah.
Is there a rat king in the Nutcracker Ballet? Oh,
that's like what the main, whole thing is
that's
about.
The main dude.
I don't know. I've never
that's
seen
like saying,
it.
Is there a Nutcracker
so
in the Nutcracker?
We're like yelling at Johnny. We're like, how dare you? Yeah, there's
seen
a rat
it.
King.
Unlike Francis, I've never seen it.
Because you have no soul, apparently.
Because it... Dicky, dicky, dee. That's, I don't know the song.
No,
it
is annoying to sit through for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For my other podcast, I've interviewed
ballerinas,
and the two things they fucking hate, Nutcracker Suite and the Black Swan.
Yeah.
I'm sure they hate Nutcracker Suite because they have to do so many performances, but that brings in the money.
It does.
Well,
that's what they said.
Pure, like, they have to, it's a lot of spinning. I don't know how they don't get dizzy.
Yeah, they said they hate that.
Yeah.
It brings in the money, but they hate it.
Right.
So the rats are killing or trying to attack the cat and the dog. And I love this. The dog just like crunches the rat.
Yeah, it's just thrashing him. So the rabbit, seeing that another train is coming, jumps onto the train and you don't see how, but like blows.
At first, I thought he sacrificed himself.
I did too.
Yeah.
You will find out later on how he blew this train up, but. Yeah. But, blows the train up, which actually detonates the bridge, too. It goes careening off, and the cat and dog fall into...
The water.
The water. The rabbit, I got the sense that the rabbit thought it killed them, so it leaves. And come to find out, the cat and the dog survived. The dog thinks he's doing dog deed.
But he's saving a human.
Pulls the train conductor engineer
unconscious.
Out of, and says, "Me good dog, be good dog."
He does it all the time. Breaks my heart.
I know. Yeah. That's one of the things Grant Morrison did really well. In this is like the intrinsic nature of each animal,
right?
Whereas the cat's like always pissed off and wanting to fight, and it's just ornery as fuck. And the dog's like, "Am I doing good? Is this good?
Right.
Are we good?"
Of course, the scene widens and you see that the train conductor is only half of
him. He's only intact from the waist up.
Which is, I think this is good to show because It's not just, hey, I just saved my friends. You probably murdered quite a number of people by blowing that train up. So, yeah.
Yeah, the dog. Well, then the dog just thinks, oh, there's a human that needs to be helped. I'll help right. him. So the dog keeps saying, okay, we have to continue home. Not quite the way I just said it. One, two, go home.
Right.
Something like that. And I love when the cat says, home zero.
Right.
Like there is no home.
Right.
Home zero.
Because the cat is obviously the smartest one in this group.
We cut to later that evening. The we see the rabbit in the headlights of this truck, and the dog and cat catch up to him, and this father and son are stepping out of the vehicle, and they're just freaked out. Like, what the hell is this? And the rabbit's tail has been damaged at some point. And he keeps the rabbit in like very clipped short sentences is trying to tell this man, like, please help me. My tail's broken.
Mm-hmm.
His explosive tail is broken. And he keeps calling him boss. Right. Boss, tail broken.
Right.
So the man is scared, tells his son, go get in the truck or run away, leave. And winds up shooting the rabbit in the head.
Right.
Which just blood is everywhere. You think, fuck, the rabbit just died. Well, the cat and dog see this, and the dog automatically reacts.
Right. And this is the cat.
And the dog, the hunter and his son, they have a dog with them, too.
Right.
And the we three dog just decapitates.
Well, I think it's the cat decapitates the dog.
Oh, I thought it was him. I thought when number one charges, he clips the... Like he rips the dog's head off and then kills the man.
No, yeah, that's what
the
I'm.
Cat, the cat slices.
Oh, the cat did it. Oh, okay.
The cat slices the dog and the dog. I mean, and the wee one
number two kills the domesticated dog. And number one kills the man.
Mm. Right. Which the son obviously lives because you find out that he's
wandering the woods.
Wandering the woods, which is it's kind of tragic. I mean, if I ran across some weird robot rabbit, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, you'd be like, what the hell?
Yeah. So it. The we three aren't exactly innocent. I mean, and unfortunately, there are some innocent bystanders who get
and then
wasted.
The dog calls himself bad dog.
Yeah.
Right. Like he was just protecting his friend, but he still has that guilt.
Right. Which we come to find out, they're programmed to work together and stick together.
Yeah.
Right.
Which comes into play much later, but you see why. And yeah, they're, it's like, it's reflective of like when a dog hurts someone and it's like, well, what were the circumstances of it? Was the dog trying to protect someone? Did it have pack mentality? What what was going on? And this dog was just, this is what it was trained to do. It's not the dog's fault, really. One of its group was injured. It's what it was trained to do is retaliate if they're under attack. So.
And this is like, this is where I was really like, oh, this is so depressing. The rabbit did not die. He just has a blazing bullet hole and blood all over his head. Like, you know he's in pain.
It destroyed its communication device.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just like, oh, this poor, like, put it out of its misery. Just looks so sad.
And so they decide, basically, the military is like, okay, now we have to activate number four.
Yeah, and the reason why is we find out they're within 5 miles of a city that has a population of 800,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and the military's like, okay, now we've really got to stop these guys. So they release number four.
We see what number four is, which is a much bigger, it's a bulldog, right?
Well, I took it as like a bull mastiff, probably.
Yeah.
It's huge. Like, much bigger than us other number one, who's probably a golden retriever or some sort of like, you know, 40, 50 pound size mutt.
And then the robot part is makes it the size of like a big gorilla.
Yeah, it's almost. Huge.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. Right, Hong Kong.
No offense to Hong Kong.
I love the original Hong Kong, but I really love Peter What's-His-Face's remake of Hong Kong. What's his name?
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that guy. What's Peter, what's his last name?
I want to say Weller, but that's not
right. Yeah, Peter Weller's RoboCop.
Yeah. You know, when RoboCop made Hong Kong.
We are the three worst nerds. Ever.
Don't ever ask us for a trivia night.
Ever. Yeah, yeah. I don't know, Hong Kong?
Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson.
Thank you.
I would get the least points. I would win that way.
You would actually cost people points.
Yeah.
I award you no points.
Yeah.
May God have mercy on yourself.
We're all dumber for listening to your rantings. The compound, the people in the compound also tell they're some of them are hesitant to release number four because they're like, he'll kill anything.
Right.
So even civilians are in danger with this creature.
And he looks like a dumb dog. Like, just his face. He just looks like a dumb, stupid dog. He's going to do whatever he's told. No, he doesn't. Ellie's so cute.
Well, he looks slightly rabid. He looks Cujo-ish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's drawn that way on purpose. So then we get the next flyer, which is for a missing rabbit by the name of Pirate, because he has a little black patch over his eye. I thought that was really cute, which is clearly number three. So it opens up with a homeless man kind of running by this train yard area with a burger, and he finds the three animals huddled in this like alleyway storage thing. And the three of them are clearly sick. They're saying they hurt. The homeless man starts talking to himself about who did this to these poor creatures, and then only to be shocked when they answer him back. Like, feed, hungry, hurt.
Right.
And so this poor homeless guy kindly gives his splits his burger up, gives it to the dog, tries to give it to the cat. The cat calls it stink meat and throws up. Whereas the dog's like totally appreciative. This would be a cat. Like, yeah. Like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
What the hell?
She's probably vegan.
So then the homeless man says, I'll go find you guys more food. Leaves
and tools, right? He kept saying, like, I need to get tools.
Where what he said too?
Yeah, he was like, I did read this part. He was like, I'll get more food. He's like, I need tools. He's like, oh, wait here, tools, because he's trying to figure out a way to help them.
Because he figures they might be entrapped in whatever
area. Things are. So then he stopped by the military who are patrolling the area, and they say, hey, if you've seen anything out of the norm, there's a reward if you see these three animals. And he calls them fascist pigs and walks away. So on the scene are the one
It's a long book.
Yeah.
It doesn't read long, but it's long. Sorry.
So then on this kind of controlling the military are this general, the doctor with the goatee, and Roseanne is there.
Right, as bait.
Yeah, because they're going to use Roseanne to try and coax the animals in because they trust her. The three animals are kind of confused about what to do. Rabbit can't communicate still, or it like talks and like buzzes and clicks.
Right.
All of a sudden, the rabbit says something that nobody can understand and leaves. And the cat and dog are like, what are you doing? Come back here. And turns out the rabbit can sense that number four is there.
Right.
And I love this. The rabbit just charges in and just headbutts the dog right in the snout. I thought that was like, I thought we were going to see the dog whimper. You know, like, 'cause when you hit a dog in the nose, like, or they get hit in the snout, like, they're like, ooh.
But then again, he's being remote controlled, so it's possible he has no feeling.
Yeah. So one and number one and number two run in, and number three says, no, run, like, leave, and continues to fight the dog, gets smashed, continues to fight number four, gets smashed into a cement wall, and number two, the cat, jumps over a train and leaves.
Right.
I was like, oh, that's kind of like a cat. number two starts to confront, or I'm sorry, the number one starts to confront number four, and walks up with the rabbit caught in his mouth.
Right. Number four blood. has number three in his mouth.
Yeah.
And then number three goes,
and not like gently.
No, he's like mauled him.
Yeah,
his teeth are like in the skull. There's blood. Yeah.
Right. Then you see number three basically drop his egg, his poop bomb, and then there's a big explosion.
It like takes out several trains and blows them up. Number one takes off running, and happens to find Roseanne, and she coaxes him in.
And you see what looks like a Predator 3 laser thing. And it's,
well, it's all these snipers are up around him. So she tells number one he's a good dog. This is so sad.
I know.
The dog says, no decom, we three, no decommish.
Right.
We three.
And the lasers are in his head.
Yeah, and then he closes his eyes and Roseanne's petting him. And the three or four lasers are on his forehead from these snipers. And then Roseanne tells number one that his name is Bandit from the poster at the beginning that was on his collar. And then she tells him to run and then jumps up just as the snipers are shooting,
takes the bullets.
Sacrifices herself.
And this scene is very disturbing. It's like the bullets going through her body.
Right. Yeah, it's
and
pretty
gory. And
she
looks fat here. Like, really? she looks significantly heavier here.
Well, I think it's just bad shape. Like, her coat's so big.
Yeah.
They made her thighs, like, twice the size.
Well, that's what happens when you get killed
like,
by...
Like, look how... Like, she's very tiny and petite here, and then when they go to kill her, she's like...
You're trying, there's
and
a
there's
subtle
nothing
thing.
Wrong. No, there's... Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being a heavy girl. Like, I'm just like...
But heavy girls deserve
be
to
consistent
die, is what
you're with saying. The art. Like, just be consistent with the art.
Yeah, the depiction of her.
Yeah.
So, Bandit now, who's number one, runs towards... Starts dodging the fire, starts running towards the general and this other doctor to kill them when number four reappears. The two dogs start fighting, and then out of nowhere, number two jumps on top of number four and like tears his eyeballs out of his head.
Right, because what happens is...
Yeah, I love that scene.
Number four like shoots number one with like a laser or something like that, and looks like it hurts him. And then they mention like, oh, these... She's trained them to like work together.
Yeah.
And so the cat all along was meant to kind of sneak up while the others are distracting it. So yeah, he leaps out like Batman.
Yeah, I love Frankie showed the image. It's like a whole panel, just a solid panel of the cat like row! I can hear it hissing too.
Claws, yeah.
Lightning striking behind it like Batman Returns or The Dark Knight Strikes again. So the three remaining animals continue to fight. They end up breaking through a barrier and landing on a freeway, and at this point the general that's on the scene says we have to remotely detonate number four,
because there's a cop who's shooting at number four. Number four is like, his face is mauled, he's like missing an eye, and they're afraid he's gonna go nuts
and kill the cops,
and in fact number one like knocks the cop over to protect him.
Which they do, and the dog's head, number four's head, just explodes everywhere. Right. The number one and number two, or Bandit and number two, escape through a sewer and spend the night in the sewer. Probably in the next morning, they escape, only to be found by a couple stink birds. The two of them get cornered inside like a house developed that's being built in the basement. When the dog realizes it's our coats, meaning their suits of armor are how they're tracking us.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to attack the cat. The cat doesn't understand right away. It starts to fight back and then realizes...
Oh, I didn't get this scene, obviously. Really? It's too deep for my second grade brain.
So so this whatever military SWAT team tracks them, gets to the bottom.
And only to find the suits.
Only the suits and basically a bomb.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing explodes.
And they must have crawled through like a crawl space or something like that to another area.
Which so this part kind of surprised me because I assumed, especially seeing the cat the way he was in that previous scene that we talked about, I assumed that maybe they were just a head, you know, and everything else was just
I thought
cyborg
that too at
bodies.
First.
So it looks like they're pretty much fully intact, that they were, these were like exo
almost like RoboCop,
yeah,
where he's just a head,
right,
a torso.
But these are just exosuits like Iron Man
to enhance their ability.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so sad because like the cat is like shaved. There's like all these holes and wires in. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, like I wish it was just the head.
Right.
Like,
and then you see a silhouette of a person walking up to him, and you think, oh fuck, they found him.
Because
they
looks
have
like,
no way to protect themselves.
And it looks like military boots, so you're assuming.
Yeah.
But come to find out, it was a homeless man.
Not a homeless man, but the homeless.
Yeah, that guy. Mm-hmm. It must be several weeks later. All that stuff's removed from their bodies. You can see where their hair, their fur is starting to grow back, but it's still kind of patchy.
Mm-hmm.
And the other doctor who had the goatee and wore the glasses walks up, sees the homeless man, and realizes like,
who they are.
He says, oh, smart dog, really smart dog.
Right.
And tips the guy.
And there's
my voice
scene.
Is starting to go into like morning DJ Animal Crew voice over here.
Hey.
Getting all gravelly.
But before that, they showed us a exposition scene of a newspaper where basically that scientist had testified about, I guess, his project.
Yeah, this was tracked back to the senator.
Right.
Who's now, his campaign is in ruins. So so he gives this guy a bunch of money and then, walks into the courthouse where the trial or mm-hmm. something's taking place.
And then, the cat and the dog clearly still have patches of fur to grow back, but all the homeless guy's managed to remove all bits of electronics and wires.
I just said that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So yeah, at this point, the homeless man took off all of the bad stuff on the animals and their groin patches.
But did you mention that they were growing patches of fur?
Yeah. Well, I can't tell. Is the indent on their head permanent?
Like, no, I think that's just, yeah, okay. You can see the fur's grown back there. So I don't think so. I hope not.
Where
no.
The homeless guy removed the equipment.
So what'd you guys think of the book?
That's how it ended.
You fucking morons. I'm glad that, look, we're getting season one. We're getting all the cobwebs of not having recorded for a while out of our system.
You mean episode one, season four.
Episode one, season four.
We're a hot mess.
I really liked this book. One, it was only 3 issues long, technically. Maybe they compiled it into a 100-issue book. I thought it was well contained. There was good exposition.
It's a tight story, too.
Yeah. What you needed to know, you found out. I felt invested with the animals for the short time you're with them.
Yeah, especially the rabbit sacrificing itself.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally felt for these animals. You know, they didn't have a lot of dialogue, yet through their emotions and whatever clipped dialogue they did have, you felt for them. You really felt for that dog.
Yeah.
You felt the personality of the cat. So, yeah, no, I highly recommend it. Really good. It is a little visceral, so it might shock some little kids. It's not quite Secret of Nim family friendly, but I thought it was pretty good.
That was so many big words. I'm so lost right now. No, but I agree. This was not at all what I thought it was going to be. And as I mentioned earlier, kind of abruptly, this is a long book, 100 pages. It read so quickly, and I was fully like invested. There's sometimes like when we get like a larger book, I'm just like, ugh, I just kind of dread it. Like, okay, like
yeah,
I got
it. Slog through it.
Yeah, and I'm like, here we go. But I normally focus more on the story. The artwork was so good. Like, I was constantly zooming in on my phone to like capture everything. And I think on a whole deeper level, it just reinforces for me anyway the fact that like animals have feelings. And no matter like how you try to minimize them or just treat them like objects and property, they have feelings and they care about others. Mm-hmm. And I really, really liked it. I thought it was a really good story.
Yeah, I do. I can't add anything to that other than I think their hair started growing back in a couple spots.
Oh, you mean when the homeless guy removed some of the equipment?
I appreciate our listener recommending this.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.
Yeah, this was really a good one.
We really appreciate that. And yeah, thanks for coming back for season 4. We really appreciate it.
We should also note that at least 2 of us read it via borrowing it from the library. So
yeah.
It's a lesson that you don't always have to buy everything from a store. We understand not everyone is financially capable of buying every book. So definitely check out your local library.
Yeah, thank you to Sacramento Public Library for lending us We Three.
Digitally.
Yeah, digitally. Yeah, that was great. Made it really easy. Really easy for all 3 of us because we have to pass. We usually
drive to each other's houses, meet at work. It's like it's like Backstreet Drugs or something. It's so like, hey, do you have the book?
Let's go.
Here
you go.
You do the drop off.
Yeah, hand off. I'm going to drop it by the garbage can next to your work. It's going to be wrapped up in a McDonald's bag.
Or a black plastic bag.
Yeah.
And sometimes like when Johnny will hand me like the novel, I'm like,
Cool. Well, where can people follow the podcast there?
You can follow us on Insta and Twitter at GN Explorers Club.
Cool. Thanks for sticking around and coming back for season 4. We appreciate it.
Bye, Explorers. That really traumatized me as a kid.
Yeah, that did me too. I'm so sad. I need ice cream.